Good evening!
Salutations and
Bill O'Brien, Where's My Movie?
Tonight we have a special guest with us. Bill, would you like to introduce your special guest?
I don't let everyone try to guess who she is. Let's go!
She's famous. Everybody
just I take umbrage at that.
I apologize.
This is Catherine Ariel Sikorski.
You had to get the full name, didn't you?
She hates the middle name. I have to say it every once in a while.
I like the middle name. Personally, I'll go with the middle name. That is a middle finger directed at you, sir.
I'll take it for what it's worth.
That will work. All right. So would you like to say hi?
Come on, Katie. Yes, we call her Kathy.
You would have to do that.
It's okay. We only have like 4 people who listen to us.
That makes me feel so much better.
It should.
Hello, 4 people. I'm sure you're very nice.
I'm sure they are too. I like to imagine our listeners sitting at home, rubbing themselves down with oil as they listen to the sound of my voice. Or is that another fantasy? I'm very lost right now. Bill, you should probably take over. I'm going down a very dark path.
I'm going to let you.
I don't want to go down this path. It's terrifying, Daddy.
I'm busy staring at my Emily Wells stuff.
All right. Okay, so let's start with our flick fessions. Confessions of movies that we have seen throughout the week. Now, I know it's been a couple of weeks since we brought back to you guys, but let's go ahead and do this. We've got a special guest. If she hasn't seen a movie, we will give her the floor to talk about whatever she wants to.
I saw, The Secret World of Arrietty.
How was that? It's a Ghibli, Studio Ghibli production done by Disney, and it's Miyazaki, so I hear it's...
Very, very pretty. Very, very well done. Much better than some of their other dubs that they've done. And... Very true to the source material.
Ah, The Borrowers.
Yes.
A classic children's novel. I love The Borrowers. Did you read The Borrowers?
I read The Borrowers growing up. I also like the old television show.
Ah, see, not a lot of people remember that.
Didn't they call it The Littles, though, in the TV show?
Well, yes, but it was still The Borrowers. Yeah. It totally was.
It was absolutely The Borrowers. I'm interested in seeing it. It's Miyazaki. Ghibli. Spirited Away is still my favorite animated movie of all time.
Spirited Away is great, but I will argue that Princess Mononoke is better.
And your point is taken. I can't change my mind. Spirited Away just grasped my heart and melted the ice cube, which was once there. Am I getting myself confused with Mr. Freeze again?
No.
Oh, okay.
Although you do bear a striking resemblance.
Bald, yes I am. Would you recommend it?
Yes. I will be getting the DVD, and this is... significant because I get very few movies.
Since you're new to the audience, let's go through some of your likes and the DVDs that you've purchased or the things that you enjoy.
All right. Harold and Maude, of course, classic. Heartwarming tale about people killing themselves.
It's beautiful. I think it's funny as hell.
Very uplifting film, I find.
I agree. I also thought Schindler's List was uplifting and not depressing. I laughed at some of it. Is that appropriate?
Probably not.
Okay. Kidding. Anyway, so what else?
I like the Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust film.
Awesomeness.
Very pretty, very beautiful film.
Agreed.
Like both the English and Japanese tracks on that, which is unusual. I usually find one or the other significantly better.
And we haven't discussed much anime on here or anything that's dubbed, technically. My personal is I usually love to go with the subtitles first. I'm not a huge dub fan unless I'm watching old school martial arts, which that's just fun.
Yes, the camp is there.
Yes, the camp. And I don't know. There's some stuff, though, that does benefit from the dubbing. A lot of people will argue this, but like my personal One of my personal favorites. It was an anime television series. And my gosh, I love this, and it's starting to skip my brain as far as what it's called. But originally, it's about a group of kids who investigate ghosts and demons at their school. And it was a very serious anime at the time. When they brought it over to the United States, what is this called? Do you know what I'm talking about? I've mentioned it before. I will have to look this up. I am so saddened. But at the time that they translated it over to the United States, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the studio that did it was a, what's that one that brought Dragon Ball Z over?
Who was that? That wasn't Funimation, was it?
It was Funimation.
Yeah, Funimation is the one who brought this one over as well. So when they brought it over, they said, hey, this is a serious studio effort over here. It's very dramatic. We're going to have some fun with it. So they hired people who wrote Family Guy.
Oh, dear.
Yes, they redubbed it and turned it into one of the most irreverent animes I have ever seen. Also one of the funniest things I have ever seen. Now, I believe it was called Ghost School, but I may be completely mistaken about that. It definitely was not Ghost Hound. Although I've heard good things about that. But anyway, that's not the point. Dubbing versus subs. What's your preferred?
Generally, I prefer the sub. But I have to say that the Princess Mononoke dub was completely amazing. Okay. So I will give you that the dub can, in fact, be as good as perhaps, and I hesitate to say this, maybe even better than the original, although it's so rare as to be unheard of. But Ghibli has done that, and I'm impressed by that.
Okay. Ghost Stories. That's the name of it.
Ah.
Yes. I love Studio Ghibli. I mean, it's Spirited Away. I always go back to that. This whole take on Wizard of Oz. And
yes.
Just this very beautiful creation.
And all the monsters are just amazing. I love No Face.
No Face is beautiful. Just absolutely. I always want to take No Face home with me.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. He'd probably eat me.
No Face is a good spirit.
Sometimes.
Any other flick fashions for the week? Anything else you'd see?
Not much. I've been playing video games, and that doesn't really count.
Anything good?
I've been playing the remake of Shadow of the Colossus and Ico, and those are both beautiful, beautiful games.
I've been wanting to play the remake. Oh, Shadow of the Colossus.
Yes.
Absolutely one of my favorite video games of all time.
And actually, going back to the movie theme, uses a lot of the same cinematic techniques with the different camera angles and everything to emphasize the size of the Colossus.
It's great, and it's probably one of the best arguments for video games is art. I mean,
flow.
Yeah. And then you have, what was the one, too, that could be argued for that? Okami,
yes.
Okami was very beautiful.
Okami is interesting in that it is one part art, one part Legend of Zelda.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yes.
It's just a fun game. And then you've even got, I mean, some of the more superior games out there that get overlooked now that people don't watch or not watch but play, like Beautiful Joe. Beautiful Joe was, I mean, yes, it's your side-scrolling game, but when you first viewed it, it's nothing that anybody had ever seen before. I mean, I was almost reminded of the old Sega game Comic Zone, but to an amplified degree. Bill, what have you seen this week?
Let's see.
A couple of weeks.
I caught a screening of Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance opening weekend.
Now, this will be interesting because me and you both have seen this. And what is your take?
I was not that impressed.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. It was a good little bad movie. But I was looking for more from it. especially after how disappointing the first one was, and yet entirely watchable. This one is, in parts, almost unwatchable. The action sequences are a lot more violent, which I enjoyed, and they let Nicolas Cage go batshit crazy, which is
always
good. But there's really no story. Idris Elba has the worst French accent in history.
True.
They squander some amazing cameos from Anthony Head and Christopher Lambert.
Christopher Lambert was... It was fun to see him in there. The thing that I was so disappointed at, though, when Christopher Lambert comes on screen... is that these kids were sitting behind me, and their dad was sitting right next to them. And the dad goes, oh! And the kids go, who's that? And they're probably about 12. And I'm like, it's freaking Highlander, man! Come on! He's awesome!
Yes, but just seeing him there once makes me want to go back and rewatch Highlander.
Ah, beautiful. There can only be one.
But...
which one are you referring to? Which Highlander?
First one.
Ah. Very good.
First movie. Although, I did get addicted to the TV show a long time ago. It's Adrian Paul, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Another Frenchman playing a Scot for some reason.
Yeah.
Although, I believe Adrian Paul's French-Canadian.
He was such a bizarre dude. I wish they'd bring him back.
Oh, but...
he was in that latest movie, wasn't he?
Yes.
Anyway, keep going.
Honestly, it's a fun movie to watch. The action sequences are a little disjointed.
But it's also done by the same guys who did Crank.
There's a severe imbalance between Ghost Rider actually kicking ass and Ghost Rider standing there watching asses kicked around him.
True. But I do have to say, as I've seen it, when he takes over the giant machine...
that is awesome.
Yes, I wanted to leap for nerd joy everywhere, because I'm like, that is freaking Ghost Rider. That is what Ghost Rider does. He's a badass. I agree. So would you agree with this statement? I wish it was rated R, and I wish Werner Herzog would have directed it.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I agree with you for the most part, Bill. It's a B-movie. It's grindhouse cinema, and Nicolas Cage is good at grindhouse. He's Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, Drive Angry, Nicolas Cage and everything, Past Wild at Heart, or The Rock. Anything else you saw?
This week I have rewatched Captain America: The First Avenger. And much as my original theatrical viewing went, I thoroughly enjoyed it. As far as the Marvel films go, it's the most fulfilling. It's the only one that has a true beginning, middle, and end.
It also sticks more to the original origin stories of its character. Sticks truer to the original origin stories.
You kind of have to do that with Captain America, yeah. Though, because, I mean, he's Marvel's Superman. He's Marvel's Batman. He's their original character.
He's the guy who, I mean, such a patriotic act in the 1940s to have a comic book character kicking Hitler's ass.
He fought Nazis. Who doesn't like kicking the butts of Nazis?
I love killing Nazis. I mean, I haven't done it, except in a video game world. But, I mean, who doesn't like killing Nazis? And, speaking of zombie Nazis, who doesn't like killing those either?
Zombie Nazis.
Yeah, and they're hungry.
Skinheads.
I don't like skinheads.
Not many do.
I don't think we're going to be alienating any of our listeners by saying I don't like skinheads. But your opinion
on skinheads.
Katie, your opinion on skinheads?
I'm sorry, if you're a skinhead and I'm alienating you, I don't really care.
Yeah, I really don't. In fact, I more agree with SLC Punk and what they did to skinheads. That would be fun. They just used to drive around and beat the crap out of them. But again, public displays of violence are usually illegal and chargeable. Anyway, any other flick fashion, sir?
I believe that's it. There was at least one more, but I can't remember what it was now, so.
Yeah. Much this week, as far as what I watched, Assault on Precinct 13, the original, actually watched it today. I've seen it a million times. I suggest it to anybody. It's Grindhouse, it's B-movie, it's John Carpenter, it's amazing. And it's got the line, anybody got a smoke?
It's a good flick.
17 times. I love it.
It's a great flick. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's fun. And it's also very, when you think about, okay, the remake was the movie where it's cops on cops. And this one, the people who are committing the violence have no reason for it except they're chasing down the man that killed one of their guys. And he runs into the police station. Well, they kill his daughter at the beginning of the movie. But besides that, they swarm and they're going to destroy and murder everybody. And besides the one loose tie-in of trying to get to this guy, there's no other real reason for them to be doing it except that they just are.
Nope. Now, aren't they white supremacists in the movie or something?
No, they're not.
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
They're a mix of races, and it's interesting. It's violent. They kill a child. They show the child being killed. John Carpenter did not hold back on that.
So they kick the puppy early in the film or later in the film?
Early in the film. Very early. It's
a very violent movie.
It is, but it's Carpenter, and it's early Carpenter, so it's better Carpenter. I mean, you can argue that Carpenter, between Assault on Precinct 13, Escape from New York, Halloween, and The Thing, did four perfect movies. That's my take on that. And I always think of Carpenter as one of the greatest directors of all time.
I don't know. The Fog was interesting.
I thought it was one of his weaker ones, but I enjoyed it, though. Who doesn't like ghost pirates? Who doesn't like pirates?
Ghost sailors?
Johnny Depp.
Yes, I would say that probably Johnny Depp doesn't like ghost pirates.
Yeah, Johnny Depp doesn't like ghost pirates.
Although he likes rum, I hear.
Yeah, he does. He likes rum and pirate songs.
Larry the Cable Guy?
Larry the Cable Guy, why are you mentioning him?
I'm sure he doesn't like ghost pirates either.
You know I convulse whenever I hear his name.
Well, good. I'll say it some more.
Please don't, sir. I don't want to die tonight.
Is it just the Larry part or is it the other part?
It's the whole... the whole persona.
The Cable Guy.
He makes a movie where in the joke he said, "You ever fart so hard your back cracks?" And I thought to myself, that is not a joke.
No.
That's not funny.
No.
And I get very upset. I was 21 and I cried.
But he made a movie.
I'm glad.
No. He made a movie.
Okay.
With a playmate.
I don't care.
Okay, what's an actual funny movie then?
What's an actual funny movie?
Yes.
Oh, man, let's see. Airplane.
Airplane, the 40-year-old virgin.
Funny People.
Funny People, Knocked Up.
Scrooged. Scrooged is a great one. Ordinary People, it's very funny.
Don't remember that one.
Tin Men is hilarious. Of Romancing the Stone. It's a mad world.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Oh, that's a classic.
I didn't like that one.
That is a classic.
I will give you that.
Oh, that is such a funny movie. Oh, Tristan Menchandy, A Cock and Bull Story. I love that one.
A Knight's Tale?
I liked A Knight's Tale, personally. But I like Heath Ledger. I had a man crush on Heath Ledger for a while.
As did I, although mine stemmed from 10 Things I Hate About You, which is where I also developed my insane yet unrequited love for not Kat Dennings, although I do have an unrequited love for her.
Kat Dennings is amazing.
You're
thinking of,
Julia Stiles.
Yeah, she's recently disappeared from the movie world,
or the main. She is so talented and so beautiful and so brilliant. She is insanely smart.
Throw Mama from the train.
I found that one to be somewhat depressing.
Really? It's so funny, though. Oh, I love Danny DeVito. The guy's awesome. Oh, come on. He's the Penguin.
I didn't much care for that one. I much liked the Batman Begins take on Batman better.
I did enjoy Batman Begins. I just think and it wasn't ordinary people. That was a very serious movie. Go back to correct myself. It's ruthless people.
Fair.
I got those confused. I like Batman Begins. My order of Batman movies will always be Batman 1, the very Michael Keaton.
Yes.
The Dark Knight. Batman Begins, Batman Returns, and then after that, I just choose not to acknowledge the other ones.
So you didn't much care for Adam West?
Oh, I like that. Yeah, yeah. As far as more recent cinema.
Okay.
I kind of put the Adam West in his own category because it's that camp fun.
He is a chaotic good Batman.
Yes, yes. And I like that. And I like Adam West and Burt Ward and... I mean, you have some very classic villains in that being portrayed, because I watched that all the time as a kid. That one and the old Superman on TV, even though I was never... Geez. What's that?
The old Superman movies.
Oh, God.
I will fly against the rotation of the Earth in order to make time go backwards.
It's... possible.
No, it's not.
It makes more sense than the ending to the second one.
Fair.
Okay, yeah. Okay, it does.
Here's the thing. That ending was originally meant for Superman 2.
Superman 3. That's a funny movie.
It's also horrible.
That's why it's so funny.
It's better than Superman 4, which is the step below horrible, which is makes me want to vomit.
Yes. Yeah. We will all agree that the first Superman movie is probably the best out of all of those.
Yes, followed by Superman Returns, in my opinion.
I'm interested, and I'm not a huge Superman fan. I mean, the only exposure I have is the old TV show, the one that used to star, what's his name?
George Reeves.
Yeah, George Reeves. And that's my only real exposure. And then the movie with Christopher Reeves. And
well, I will say that Superman Returns was a very interesting take on Superman as Jesus.
Thank you. The whole last shot with him doing the cross.
Yeah, I thought that was in front of the earth. Perhaps a little bit over the top. Rubbing it in our faces just a bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Particularly considering this is post-Superman's death and resurrection.
It's very, very... I'm looking forward to Man of Steel. I will say that. I'm looking forward to that because I think Zach will take a very... he'll do it. And he knows he can do comic book movies. We all saw that with The Watchmen. And we know he's got style and flair with 300.
Well, you forgot that 300 was also a comic book before.
Frank Miller. I did not forget that. But we know that he can do it. Go ahead.
I have to say, 300 was a very pretty movie. But I have to say, I don't understand why guys go and see it. Because it's clearly aimed at the likes guys sexually category of movie viewers.
It is. They are.
Well, it's the same reason guys love Ben-Hur.
Yes.
Guys love Gladiator.
Spartacus. Have you ever seen the director's cut of Spartacus?
I have to admit I have not.
There is a sexual scene between two men in that movie. And it happens. But guys still love Spartacus.
Fair enough.
The violence and the camaraderie.
Well, at least the violence.
No, there's something about the whole brotherly love aspect of it. These men love each other.
Did not have that.
Yes, it did. Those men loved each other as brothers.
No.
I think more than anything... Now, what appealed to me? What I can tell you appealed to me? The underdog. You have 300 men versus an army of thousands. And to me, that's always a story that appealed. But you have to look at what men like, too. Rambo. Rocky. Rocky's the ultimate underdog story. 300. We like those movies where people can face the odds. Die Hard. The man is going through a tower, and he's taking out 20 terrorists by himself with no shoes. It's kind of awesome.
But then you go back and you look at the actual history of the story of 300, and it's so much cooler than the movie. The movie made it much less awesome than it really was. And how can you do that? It's a movie.
I looked at the historical of that, but you'll have to remind me because I haven't, since the movie came out, I haven't looked at the history behind it.
You have, yes, they in fact were under her, they had massive differences in size of forces. But the thing is, the Spartans were actual warriors, actually trained, well equipped. The interesting thing about the actual history is the, I believe it's the Persians.
Yep.
Sent their best forces against the Persians, and they lost. And then they sent their other best forces against them, and they lost. The interesting thing about it is that they took out the big, scary ninja assassin squad of Persians who were, you know, quake in your boots scary. It's not just that they took out a massive force, but they took out the most awesome of the other side. And then they have the Greeks who were just kind of pussies over here, not being fighters.
The Greeks always were.
Technically, it was the Athenians, but...
Yes, well, that is true. I will give you that.
At that point, they were still separate city-states. They weren't unified as Greece. That didn't actually happen until Rome conquered them.
But it's still, it's a... The Spartans themselves are this... They have really been characterized in history because of their training methods,
yes.
The way they learned to become warriors, and... It always amazes. I think it amazes men to watch something like this because you want to go, I can do that. Or why didn't I grow up like that? You know, if I would have grown up like Leonidas.
If you'd grown up like that, you'd be insane.
Yes, you would. But if I would have grown up like Leonidas, I would look like Gerard Butler. And I would be okay with that. That's the man's take on it. Because no matter what men say, we like badass characters, but we all do compare ourselves to other men. Especially when we're watching movies, we like to see ourselves as the... Because, I mean, look at Bruce Willis. Not the most handsome man in the world.
But a very good everyday man.
Yeah, and his badassery is like level 10. Because of Die Hard. I would flat put it out there. That's the reason why Bruce Willis is awesome. Because of Die Hard. Has he made some decent stuff? Yeah, but Die Hard's
his best. I would argue
it's
his badassery is because of Moonlighting.
I don't like you right now. What's wrong with you?
Moonlighting was an awesome show.
It was terrible.
No.
It was horrible.
I grew up watching it.
That's good for you. Let me also ask you. You like Hudson Hawk, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right, well, I do too. Still.
Would you like to... Swing on a star.
I told you no singing.
Carry me.
I warned you.
Home in a jar.
I'll get the duct tape.
And be better off than you are.
I have a cattle prod.
Or would you rather?
This I want to see.
It's men are obsessed with a few things. You have to look at it like this: we're obsessed with badassness and cool. That's why we also like Frank Sinatra and Steve McQueen and Charles Bronson. I mean, these guys...
I also never got into Bronson.
But... Really? Mechanic or Death Wish? Awesome.
Never my cup of tea.
I love Death Wish. Or Eastwood. Now, you gotta like Eastwood, Bill.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Unforgiven, Outlaw Josie Wales, Man With No Name Trilogy.
The Pale Rider.
Hail Rider, God.
Oh, such good stuff. Everything Dirty Harry.
I've only seen the first one.
Still awesome.
Brilliant flick.
Oh, all amazing.
I mean, you can't beat it. I mean, do you feel lucky, punk?
Do ya? Or what about my favorite, like, off weird moment in Dirty Harry is that part where he's sitting there and he's peeking in that window because he's trying to see if the killer that he's looking for is in this apartment or has gone into this apartment. And they go, these two guys come around the corner, and it's just this really fat woman getting naked. And she, these two guys come, hey, are you spying in on beautiful Marge? And I'm like, beautiful? She's huge.
Some people like that. There's no accounting for taste, and you know you might alienate some of your very nice listeners by saying that.
That's true, too. Was she beautiful? Well, she also had a mustache, but, I mean, it was still such a bizarre moment in 70s cinema. Because if you look at 70s cinema,
you got to be thinking to yourself,
it's bizarre.
Did I shoot 5 times or did I shoot 6?
Ah, great. See? It's greatness. Have you ever seen Dirty Harry, Kid? I'm going to answer and guess at no.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, you're missing out.
It's
for an action flick, it's surprisingly action-light. It's more about the tension.
It is. And they're great movies.
I have seen some Eastwood flicks, and I have to say, I respect him as an actor and as a person, I think. And, of course.
Rock and roll.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Space Cowboys. Everyone loves cowboys in space. Also ninjas.
I also love Tommy Lee Jones.
But it's Tommy Lee Jones and James
Garner and Donald Sutherland and Clint Eastwood.
Oh, I love Donald Sutherland.
Oh, it's so amazing.
I still want to watch MASH right now.
Oh, MASH is greatness. But
have you seen MASH?
The TV show?
Bah!
Have you seen the movie?
There's a movie?
It's awesome.
There's a book as well. No, I take that back. It's an original screenplay. It was the first screenplay to be produced by a blacklisted screenwriter from the 60s Red Scare.
I see.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God bless Robert Altman.
I love Robert Altman.
May he forever shine down on us.
That's cool. I'm going to go there.
He gave us Gosford Park. He gave us Memphis. He gave us MASH.
He gave us a lot of good stuff. I like Robert Altman.
He gave us Larry the Cable Guy.
See, that's where I'm dead. I don't know if I like the fact of Robert Altman looking at me while I shower.
No, I take that back. He gave us a Prairie Home Companion.
Which
I adored.
Which is one of the few performances from Lindsay Lohan that I actually enjoyed.
She was so quiet and understated in that movie.
The thing is that I enjoyed it because she was quiet. Did you see I Know Who Killed Me?
I actually have this bizarre desire to see it.
I suggest it for Bad Movie Tuesdays. Highly suggested for Bad Movie Tuesdays.
The only way that movie could be better, as far as my understanding goes, is if Tara Reid was in it.
That would have made it awesome.
Lindsay Lohan plays her own twin. They're separated at birth.
But there's a psychic link.
But there's a psychic link between the two of them. One of them gets murdered, and the other starts to believe that she's the one that was murdered.
There's a scene where she's showering and one of the twins' legs gets cut off. And while she's showering, her leg just falls off.
Okay, then.
It's really terrible. And so funny.
See, you had me until you started talking about legs being cut off in the shower.
Yeah, like...
Well, she's been kidnapped by a sadistic serial killer.
It just really falls off more than anything. It doesn't make any sense.
So, less serious than Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah.
It tries to be.
I think this was trying to be the modern day Silence of the Lambs.
Did it fail?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a pity. You should try again.
Now, if it would have had Rutger Hauer in it, it would have been much better.
Mm. It can't be any worse than the non-Uwe Boll sequel to In the Name of the King.
With Dolph Lundgren.
As a 21st century mercenary who's transported back to medieval times to fight a merciless king.
And who has the terrible movie cliche of doing the narration.
Really, with his accent?
Yes.
You can understand things he says?
Probably not.
That was my favorite bit. That was my favorite bit throughout the Expendables. You couldn't understand a damn word Dolph said.
No.
Is this more or less offensive than The Last Samurai?
Less offensive because it's stupid.
Ah.
My understanding of The Last Samurai, granted I haven't seen it, was that it was a very dumb movie, but very beautifully shot. And Ken Watanabe is brilliant in it.
Okay, Ken Watanabe is brilliant in everything he's in.
True.
But I'm
he
sorry.
He actually gives heart to the movie, from what I understand.
He does. And then Tom Cruise stomps all over that heart, does his little crazy dance, and screams for more sake. I hate Tom Cruise.
He was good in Interview with a Vampire.
Yes. Everything after that is pretty much, I'm done.
Except Thunder.
No.
Top Gun.
Top Gun was awesome. Mission Impossible was pretty decent.
I have to say, Mission Impossible was a movie that made me happy to be heterosexual and female. But again, I don't see why the guys are going to see this movie.
It's a spy movie.
And I went and saw it for Emmanuel Bayer.
Oh, right. There were women in that movie.
There
I
were women.
Notice.
Kristen Scott Thomas before she broke big.
Yes.
Emilio Estevez in a very small cameo.
Which he dies.
And The Voight.
Yeah. It's a fun... Mission Impossible is a spy movie, and guys like spy movies, too.
Ah, okay. So, guys like kicking butt.
Yes.
Guys like spy movies.
Yes.
Why do you think there are more male fans of James Bond than there are female fans?
I've noticed that, and I don't understand the appeal of James Bond either.
Actually, though, I have to go with her on this one. I've never understood the appeal of James Bond, because I don't like James Bond.
I find him offensive. I find him not interesting, and I feel sorry for the women.
I've never found James Bond interesting. The only one I've ever found remotely interesting was Daniel Craig in Casino Royale. But I liked it because it was dark.
The first Bond films, when Connery was still doing it, those are good because those are capturing an era, honestly.
Well, I've thought about going back and watching them.
And they're fun. They're almost, but not quite camp. They're above camp, but they have that slow pull to it. The villains always have some sort of gimmick, like Goldfinger has his henchman, Oddjob.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say, I mean, I've seen at least one of every Bond era, as far as the new Bonds are concerned, or the old Bonds. I've seen at least one of every one of those.
You have to go back and read some of the books. Bond is actually a very tragic character.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with you on that, because I've read some of the backstory on that.
His parents died in a mountain climbing accident. He was born into a wealthy family, but he was raised by the state.
Yeah.
He was basically trained from a very young age to be nothing but a killing machine. And they go into that a little bit in GoldenEye with 006.
I have to talk about it
very briefly. That's the only mention in the movies.
I have to go back to that, GoldenEye. You know, I actually did enjoy GoldenEye, but maybe that was my tie to the video game. Because for first-person shooters...
Sean Bean, man. That's the only reason to watch it.
Sean Bean is awesome. Black Death was so amazing. I've been waiting for a great movie about the Black Plague since The Mask of the Red Death.
Now, wasn't the Black Death also a horror movie of some kind as well?
Sort of. As far as much as the horror of the plague and the horror of a village that is untouched by the plague and possible witchcraft involved.
As opposed to being able to bathe?
Yeah. That's terrifying, actually. Watching Europeans scares me.
Watching or washing Europeans?
Washing, too. I had a job where I washed old Europeans. What was most disturbing is the old Nazi who tried to read me books. And I was just a young starlet. It was like the opposite of the reader. Does anybody remember that movie with Kate Winslet?
So you're Kate Winslet, and
no, Kate Winslet was the Nazi.
What does this have to do with the English Patient? I'm confused.
It's nothing to do with it.
Okay.
English Patient was interesting.
I'm a good guy for a girl. Ooh. There and now will never come again.
Sweetie Todd, sir, is awesome. Especially Angela Lansbury. She was amazing.
Brilliant. That was the first version I ever saw of.
Probably for me, still the best version.
I don't know. There's something to be said for the whole Hammer horror production.
Oh, that was excellent, too.
That Tim Burton did.
That was...
had some very distinct echoes of his Sleepy Hollow.
Tim Burton, to me, is ever since Planet of the Apes, I don't get excited about his stuff anymore.
Depends on the flick. I'm very excited by his Dark Shadows adaptation.
I'm excited about the Dark Shadows one. Yeah, that's probably the first one in a while. That one and Frankenweenie, which I really want to see.
I will be going to see that.
Yeah, I mean, based off of his original short film. And especially Tim Burton and Johnny Depp, I don't much get excited for anymore. I used to because Ed Wood and Edward Scissorhands.
Love Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, love Ed Wood.
Oh, both of those. Ed Wood's still my favorite Burton flick.
I would argue that the problem with Edward... Excuse me. The problem with Tim Burton and Johnny Depp is they work so well together that they don't have someone throwing in something interesting. They have a formula. Yeah. And, you know, occasionally they'll do weird things like the dancing in Alice in Wonderland.
Still haven't seen it.
I wasn't that impressed with the dance scene.
The dance scene felt very out of left field.
But the moment in the movie where Johnny Depp is reciting the Jabberwocky poem.
Oh, that was just amazing.
To hear him put that gravitas to it was just...
That might actually be interesting.
The movie itself is actually extremely watchable and surprisingly fun. It puts an odd spin on it because it's not Wonderland. It's Unterland.
I've been meaning to watch it. I mean, my favorite version of Alice is... the 1977 Alice, the German expressionist film.
Well, the whole concept of this is the idea that it's Wonderland was because of Alice's misconception of the whole world that she was visiting when she was a child.
Yeah.
And now she's going back to it as an adult and seeing it for what it really was.
It'll be interesting. I mean, I'll have to sit down and watch it. I watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Love that movie. So much more faithful to the book.
So much more faithful to Roald Dahl's actual and dark universe that he creates. But at the same time, there's something so classic about the Gene Wilder.
Oh, yeah. I love... There are parts that I can't stomach in the Gene Wilder version. And it's when it's the parts where it gets severely maudlin. See, or they do the 60s psychedelic stuff for no reason.
I love that, though. It's such a trip. And it's very much that 60s, 70s kind of psychedelia era. Because you have even go back to Easy Rider. I mean, you look at that one with the acid trip sequence in that. That acid trip sequence is completely out of place, but at the same time speaks so much to the era that it was filmed in. And I don't know, though. Gene Wilder's version of that, to me, is still the superior one. As much as I enjoyed Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the Gene Wilder one was...
See, I look at them as two completely separate films, and I enjoy them both pretty much equally.
It's just hard for me to see anybody else in the Willy Wonka part. I mean, he's so well-defined, that Willy Wonka character, for me.
My problem with the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory movie is that, although I did see it at a very formidable young age... I had actually read Roald Dahl, and it's like, this is nothing like at all the book. And I had that with, what was it, the Phantom Tollbooth
book
movie that they did. And again, it struck me as being much more lighthearted than the books were. Like The Witches, the movie that they did was much more cheerful than the book.
And I think that, I mean, you look at Dahl's stuff, and its stuff was very dark.
Yes.
I mean, the BFG is very sad.
Very, very
sad. It's extremely, I mean, he's a tragic character. And I think probably the best unofficial interpretation of the BFG for me is the Iron Giant, which I absolutely loved. But
beautiful animation in that again.
Oh, absolutely. Brad Bird. Guy is, I mean, the Iron Giant, the Incredibles.
Ratatouille.
This guy is just amazing. I hear really great things about Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, too, which I'm interested in seeing still, even though it's got Tom Cruise in it.
I've heard it's very enjoyable, but it's got Tom Cruise in it, and therefore I'm not going to see it. Sorry, don't want to support that. Sorry.
He's crazy. And the Scientology thing, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but does he really? Ron Hubbard, the guy was a science fiction writer. He knew what he was doing. He's quoted as saying, if man who would be the wealthiest man in the world is the man who creates a religion. I mean, for crying out loud.
You could make the argument that many modern versions of religious televangelist, he just went the next step. I'm not endorsing what he did, and you know, there have been gross abuses of power within Scientology religion, much like other religions have their shadows. But Tom Cruise, no, I'm not going to support that. Sorry.
No, he is bizarre, beyond bizarre for me. The guy is. I mean, he started out as a really promising young actor, and he did a lot of really great stuff.
He was better when he had his own teeth.
I think the last thing that I really enjoyed about Tom Cruise was
Days of Thunder.
No, I'm going past that.
Cocktail?
Collateral.
Cocktail.
I really enjoyed Collateral. Cocktail was good, actually.
Cocktail, but
Cocktail's a good movie.
It's the Top Gun of bartending movies.
It is, to be honest with you.
Just like Days of Thunder is the Top Gun of NASCAR movies.
He wants to put a bar in every mall in America, which is still a good idea.
I feel the need for speed.
It's a good movie. Top Gun.
Goose.
But
she's lost that love and feeling.
But what's good about Top Gun, though? Tony Scott. That's what made Top Gun good.
Screw that. Val Kilmer, bitch.
No, Tony Scott, sir.
Iceman.
Tony Scott.
And let's not forget, it has Walker's sidekick.
Not just that.
Walker, Texas Ranger's sidekick is in that movie.
Yes.
He's also in... what's that skiing movie that's the Top Gun of skiing movies?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't pay attention to Top Gun remakes in different fields.
That one was actually surprisingly decent, but it was the Top Gun of skiing movies. Goose dies in a skiing accident instead of a fighter jet accident.
Fighter jet, yeah. It's, I don't know, Tom Cruise is one of those... He's bizarre.
You can blame Mimi Rogers for that. She's the one that introduced him to Scientology.
He's such a bizarre character, though. I'm sure Katie Holmes stays locked up in that house, chained to a radiator.
No. She's the slutty pumpkin.
Oh, no. She is technically the slutty pumpkin. But
she has no idea.
How I Met Your Mother.
I have no idea what you were even saying.
It's from a show called How I Met Your Mother, TV show.
Okay.
She plays a character known as the Slutty Pumpkin.
It's a recurring joke that the main character of the show spends every Halloween at a very lame Halloween party on the off chance that a girl he met there years and years ago will return.
It's been going on for 6 years.
I see.
She finally returns. She finally meets her again in this most recent season, and she's played by Katie Holmes.
Mm-hmm. And Is she wearing the pumpkin outfit?
She does at one point.
I don't... See, I haven't seen the episode that she appears in. I've seen the one episode where they create the reference that becomes the running gag. And she's referred to as a slutty pumpkin because she wore a pumpkin costume.
I see.
It was slutty because it was cut in strategic places.
Yes.
That's unfortunate.
Not really.
Katie Holmes was the slutty pumpkin.
Now, if Michelle Williams had been the slutty pumpkin, I would have watched that Dawson.
Michelle Williams after Dawson's Creek would never appear on TV sitcoms again. She's too good of an actress.
She was so hot in Shutter Island.
Okay, you have some great roles from Michelle Williams, including, I mean, the latest one being Meek's Cutoff, which was amazing.
See My Week with Marilyn.
She was good in Brokeback Mountain. She was also really, really good in that one with her and the dog. I can't remember the name of it. Not Marley and Me, damn it.
All Dogs Go to Heaven?
That was awesome.
No.
All Dogs Go to Heaven's amazing.
Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise could not save that movie.
Burt Reynolds is awesome.
Dom DeLuise could not save An American Tale, which is the most boring of cartoons.
There's something wrong with you.
I love the American Tale 5-0 Goes West.
Oh, an American Jimmy Tale. Stewart. An American Tale is amazing, it's sir.
Boring.
It is beautiful. It is heart-wrenching. It is terrifying.
It's Don Bluth's worst movie.
Okay, first of all,
his best movie being The Rats of Nim.
We're fixing to cut this off because Don Bluth never made a bad movie. All of his stuff was amazing. All of it. I don't care. Everything Don Bluth did.
Titan A.E.
was awesome.
It was redeemed by a joke at the end of the movie.
No.
Planet Bob.
It's amazing.
Earth 2, a.k.a. Planet Bob.
Titan A.E. is awesome. Don Bluth's awesome. All Dogs Go to Heaven was awesome.
Can we agree to disagree?
Sure.
No. We have to disagree on disagreeing.
Okay. Fine.
That means we just want to agree.
So.
No.
My opinion wins?
Well. Huh?
So my opinion wins?
What? You've never seen it?
Yes!
Opinion wins. All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Frank Zappa wannabe.
Frank Zappa. Cool.
Although I have seen All Dogs Go to Heaven and All Dogs Go to Heaven 2.
I never saw the second one.
Of terrible Disney movies that didn't need a sequel.
These are Warner Brothers.
My bad. Of terrible animated movies that didn't need a sequel, it was one of the better terrible sequels that I've seen.
Did Don Bluth direct All Dogs Go to Heaven?
Yeah, he did All Dogs Go to Heaven.
I couldn't remember for sure.
In hell, even the little girl who plays in All Dogs Go to Heaven has such a heartbreaking tale. She made that, and she made, what was it, the dinosaur one?
We're Back?
Yeah.
Or no,
what's the original one called? It's that one.
The one with Littlefoot? And
yes.
It was so boring.
And I loved it.
And like 14 sequels.
Yeah, they've done a million of them.
Land Before Time.
Yes. Land Before Time, awesome.
The only thing about that movie that was good was Ducky.
You hate sweet. You hate nice, and you hate soul, sir. Why?
Because Rocky.
Why?
Rocky wouldn't like it.
Five-O, an American Tale.
I love 5-0 Goes West. It's funny. It's heartwarming. It's brilliant.
So
it's
the first
short.
One. The first one is too.
The first one is long and boring.
See, I don't know why you like Sex and the City, but you don't like this. It doesn't make any sense.
What's the first word in Sex and the City?
Yeah, but there's hardly any of that in Sex and the City.
That's all there is in Sex and the City.
There's none of that.
They just don't show it. They just talk about it all the damn time.
I know. It's like
which is hot.
No, but it's like going to a strip club when you want to get laid. It doesn't make any sense. Watch porn.
I do that too.
Well, don't watch Sex and the City. There's no merit. There's no redeeming value.
Sometimes you want a filet mignon, and sometimes you just want a hamburger.
That makes no sense. There's no reference that makes sense. This isn't justified.
Well, no, because we're not Timothy Olyphant.
That guy's awesome. Good thing about Justin
Flynn. He did that on purpose, you know.
The guy, Timothy Olyphant, replaying his Deadwood character in modern times. Awesome.
Did you at least watch Deadwood, Katie?
I don't even know what that is.
Deadwood, it was the last town in the Old West.
Amazing.
It was the last frontier town. The last boom town. It was where Wild Bill Hickok was murdered.
Wild Bill!
Wait, what does this have to do with movies?
It was a TV series on HBO. It was a TV series, yeah. Ran for 3 seasons.
Good TV show.
Brilliant show.
Brilliant, absolutely.
Calamity Jane.
It's also really, HBO. They do a lot of really good stuff.
I want to watch Carnival. I've never watched that.
It's really good.
I've heard it's severely messed up.
It is, extremely. Carnival, Rome, Deadwood.
Rome was interesting. I didn't watch a whole lot of it, though.
Oh, so good.
I want to get into Game of Thrones.
I do, too, but I need to read the book first.
It'll take you a while.
I have it, and I've read it, but I read it when I was, like, yay big.
See, I want to watch the spinoff, Sherlock Holmes, Game of Thrones.
That would have lots and lots of men having sex.
This is a joke referring back to our first podcast. Because I still can't remember the damn name of the Sherlock Holmes sequel.
Oh, I can't remember what you said on our first podcast.
I called it Sherlock Holmes, Game of Thrones.
You did, didn't you? And it's Game of Shadows.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
It's still Game of Thrones.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's
I just want to put in the heads of our listeners the idea of Jude Law and Iron Man getting it on.
I don't know why.
Well, Holmes is dressed in the drag costume that he apparently wears in the sequel.
You're disturbed? You've ruined our listenership.
This isn't my idea. I'm just putting it in the heads of our listeners.
No, it's your idea delivered to our listeners. Okay, I think it's time to wrap up. It's about 2:05 in the morning, and I'm getting a little bit silly.
You're getting a little bit silly? You're not suggesting cross-dressing Iron Man in a Victorian women's outfit. I mean, just imagine trying to fit the suit around a corset. I mean, seriously.
It's true.
Why would you put the suit around a corset? Why wouldn't you put the corset around the suit?
Because corsets are underwear.
It's true.
What do you mean you put the dress over that?
Ah, I have seen the light, and you're the silly one?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, this has been another good podcast. I will say this is probably better than the first one.
I have this sudden idea for a comic book spinoff now, though.
And we will leave it at that, ladies and gentlemen.
Iron Girl!
From Bryan Daniels and...
Katie.
And...
Wild Bill Hickok.
Good night, and good...
That he's done great things, even...